Welcome to the We Are Here podcast, a podcast all about entrepreneurship on the South Coast, collecting stories and lessons from entrepreneurs and community leaders to learn firsthand how they've built their business or organization so we can build our own. The South Coast is a small place, and we're letting the business world know that we are here. Show your support by liking us on Facebook at facebook.com/thewearehere podcast and join the newsletter for all of our latest announcements and upcoming episodes at southcoast.fm/subscribe. That's southcoast.fm/subscribe. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the We Are Here podcast. I hate to say special edition. It's not a special edition. There's nothing special about this edition. But it's awareness.
It's kind of special. You have us here.
This is true. You folks are special. And actually, hold on. Let me hop Sarah into the mix.
Hey, Sarah. Everyone.
We are live, so let's just go around the room, and I'll go to the right. Just introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, what you do. Shelly, you're to my right. I'll let you go first.
Hello, I'm the director of programs for E4All, which is Entrepreneurship for All. We are in the South Coast, as well as 7 other communities in Massachusetts and 1 in Colorado.
Awesome. Sarah, where can folks find you?
Hey, I'm Sarah Athanas, and I'm the co-founder, current owner of Groundwork. We're a co-working space right here in New Bedford, and you can find us at newbedfordcoworking.com.
And Marlissa.
I am Marlissa Brigitte, and I'm with South Coast Almanac. We're a quarterly magazine that explores the people and places of the South Coast, and you can find us at southcoastalmanac.com.
So today's the impetus behind today. We'll chat 20, 25 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, just sort of highlighting some of the feedback we're all hearing, right, from other small businesses that are being impacted by this whole COVID-19 coronavirus thing that's happening to us. We all talk to a lot of business owners. We're all in a sort of centers of a lot of activity around here. I mean, some of the things that I'm hearing and sort of my day job is selling software, and I haven't really seen to like medium and large size businesses. I've yet to see a big impact. So let's talk on the positive side. I've yet to see a big impact from, you know, the customers that I'm dealing with day to day. A lot of people are in the tech space that are in, you know, the circles that I travel in. A lot of them are very accustomed to working from home. This isn't new to them. This is just their average day, except they just can't leave the house, I guess. And building sites, building software continues to drum on and at a normal pace. So it stands right now. But from the small business impact, a couple days ago, or actually this past Friday, I think I put together a survey for folks to fill out and just give us some feedback on, you know, around this whole COVID-19 impact. And there's a lot of examples in this, and I'm going to link it up as soon as I pass the microphone in the chat. But there's a lot of great feedback in there from folks that are being affected by this. And Shelly, I'll pass it to you first, because I think I know that a lot of the folks in the E4All, a lot of the cohorts that have come through the program, restaurants, eateries, food trucks, a lot of these people are feeling the impact on this. Has there been like a resource that's been shared with E4All that people are sort of getting directed to, I don't know, reach out or at least identify themselves as, look, we need some help here?
Yeah. So what's interesting is, and it was great to see you put a survey together right away. We started working on one, and then I realized one thing that's so interesting, what we're all going through, is things are changing so quickly. So you may have asked a restaurant how they were feeling last Tuesday, and that would have been different than how they were feeling on Friday. And that would have been very different than how they're feeling Monday morning. So things are happening very rapidly. As I've started to see resources, I have seen some, you know, the chamber put together some things. I did start a resource list. I just put it on a Medium blog just to get it up quick and running. As we're talking right now, our headquarters team at E4All is putting that on our website so we can keep up to date with resources. We are also putting out today, all of our sites are going to be sending an email out to all entrepreneurs, whether it's a food business or not, for them to let us know how we could also help boost their business. So whether they have gift cards that are available online or by phone, or they have links to that, we're doing that as well. And then one thing that we're really looking to do is offer some video guidance for people. I know some people aren't online and they may right now be like, how do I get online? So maybe we have somebody in the eFrog community that would volunteer to do a video workshop like that. So we're very actively thinking of ways to help the businesses that have come through our program, but also all businesses. So if we have a resource internally, we can share it, but then we're also just trying to collect all the things that are being shared from everybody else.
And Sarah, what about you? What are you hearing from the folks in the co-working?
There's some of our members are highly vulnerable and others are not. So it's really been a mix. Most of our people, due to the fact that they're working in a co-working space, typically means they can work anywhere. So the transition to working remotely isn't that huge for them. But we do have some members that are in vulnerable industries. I lost a couple members on Friday because they just got hit super hard. A lot of events got canceled for them and they were just like, we gotta slash expenses ASAP. So fortunately we haven't seen a lot of that yet, but I'm anticipating there's gonna be at least a little bit more. So I'm trying to plan for that. On the practical level at the co-working space, we're a monthly membership, a monthly subscription service. So I'm trying to figure out what is the best and the most fair way to handle that with our members moving forward. The most important thing for me, obviously, is to retain as many members as I can on the other side of that and just do the bare minimum to kind of keep things in a hibernation mode in the meantime.
And you've gotten fairly creative, right? I think you just got off what is now going to be like a daily Zoom call, right? And for folks who don't know what Zoom is, it's sort of like what we're doing right here. It's a chat app. It's one that is sort of like a Skype, if some folks are familiar with it. And that's sort of like a new way for you to have an engaged community, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We just had our second one today and, I had to throw that together really fast. Like, all right, we gotta keep the community together here. How are we going to do this? And it's been really amazing. We had a completely different group of people yesterday and today, very different conversations, really interesting conversations. And it's kind of, I'm realizing like, wow, this is a way that we've never interacted before when we're physically in the space. And it's actually in a lot of ways more vulnerable, more immediate. People are having really in-depth conversations and kind of sharing existential questions. And it's been really cool to see that. So I hope that, there are some positive things coming out of this as we all try to develop different ways to connect with each other.
It's going to take some creative thinking, some outside the box stuff, right? Finding new opportunities in this. And, I know it's still super early, but there could be some good things that come out of this. Marlissa, you were mentioning in the creators group the other day, like how you position advertisement, right? Mm-hmm. Now is not, it's crazy to say, and it's almost, you might feel a little weird to say, it's like, now is not the time to cut advertising because you need to stay top of mind. But what I've always enjoyed about content creation and publishing or advertising is you have the ability to get creative, right, in ways to support customers. Do you have any early thoughts on how you might approach advertising or supporting your existing advertisers in the future?
Yeah, so that's certainly what I'm in. I've been thinking about the last few days. We'll certainly be extending grace periods because many of our advertisers are from the local community. They're mom and pops, they're independents, some of them are fine, or at least fine for now. Others are restaurants and stores, and they're going to be impacted right away. So we're going to have to figure out in this next billing cycle, I'm going to send out a letter saying, if you're impacted, we understand and we can extend a grace period for payment. Conversely, it's tough for us because, I empathize with them because they have razor thin margins. And I know that because I have razor thin margins. So I'm trying to balance it. And certainly that's true for our business is a little funky. We get paid after we do the work. So, I guess other people do that too. So we're still getting paid for our March issue, but we're already looking down at May and thinking, oh my God, these people, they're not going to be able to commit to advertising. So I'm definitely trying to figure out other creative ways to keep them in the magazine so that when things rebound, people are seeing them and thinking, oh yeah, I'm going to go eat there, or I'm going to go shop there, or whatever. So there's just a lot of ideas percolating, but it definitely has to be outside the box because they're not going to be able to commit to a May advertising.
I mean, one of the things I was thinking of is, I mean, there's so many people that haven't, like, they, you know, what we were just talking about before, like, how do we get people online? Maybe doing like a video, like workshop or whatever to help prepare folks for doing this kind of thing. I mean, there were some people out there that still don't even have websites, right? It's like, yeah. Man, like, you know, that's, it's, how, is there a way to prepare or I don't know, Shelley, if you've heard anybody do anything through eForall, Get Creative. Are there people that are just having to close the doors, like especially thinking about restaurants that like they have to close? It's the law, right? Like you can't, I mean, you can still do delivery and takeout, but for a lot of people who might not even have an online presence or a way to reach out to people to say, place an order, look for our gift certificate here. Have you heard about anybody sort of doing anything about that at all?
Yeah, I mean, I have seen people that were not in the takeout or delivery space that are now getting into it. And the government is waiving some of that where, you know, there needed to be some permitting before. And a lot of that is getting waived, which is really good. I don't have any specific examples of any restaurants that aren't online. I feel like at least they have social media presence if they don't have a website. So I have seen some people just say, call us for, you know, to pre-order, we'll bring it out to you. I've definitely seen some of that creativity happening.
Yeah. From a storytelling perspective, Marlissa, how important is, you know, keeping folks in the loop with, you know, let me take a step back. So in my inbox, all I'm getting, you know, is the COVID-19 updates. You know, here's what we're doing. Everyone's doing the same thing. But, you know, as an individual, I'm just looking at it going, okay, that's great. I'm getting an update from this brand, which I haven't heard from in literally, you know, 2 years, but all of a sudden I'm getting this update about it. It's great to see that they're doing it. And like the marketer in me is like, is everybody just saying the same damn thing? You know, it's just the same updates. I know you're the best at XYZ and you're prepared for COVID-19 and all this fun stuff. But I mean, is there a silver lining? Is there like a lesson from a marketing perspective? Is maybe that some of the brands that really shouldn't be talking about this stuff, like just stay out of our inboxes? Like, have you been creatively thinking about how to message and prepare this?
Is that, so we have, for example, we have a Donut Madness that we planned long ago, and it's basically the top 16, the sweet 16 donut shops on the South Coast, and it all seems like a fun idea, and it's still a fun idea. And we launched it on Friday, which was sort of at the beginning, but I thought, okay, well, it's takeout, you know, like, and so we put it out there, we put an email, and I got a couple of responses from people saying, thank you so much for something in my inbox, to your point, that's fun and happy, and I really appreciate this. So that's Friday, and then already, so the first round ends tonight, at 5, and then we go to the second round, starts tomorrow, the voting. And I'm already thinking, okay, how do I frame it that the tone is right? Do you know what I mean? Like, I think we need things, but I don't want to be flip, but I also think that we need some things to buoy our spirits, right? Well, it's changed tremendously because I don't even know for some of the donut shops if they will be open with donuts, you know? So it's, I think the stories, I think we have to balance it with positive stories. And I think actually in the end, that will be what comes out of this, is all the things that are really sort of moving us. I know that we're probably all moved by the offers from strangers to Venmo people who are out of work right now, or you know, those Italians singing in the balconies, that really gets me. And I'm trying to figure out how we can do that around here. And I think in the end, that's what we'll come away with, some just wonderful stories about communities coming together, the South Coast coming together, but all communities, sort of the best of them on display through this horrible time. Yeah. So
Yeah.
And we hope to be able to tell those stories.
Yeah. Sarah, I know you were wrestling with the content camp, you know, in person, you know, and we were joking like, well, you made the call to sort of cancel the in-person event, which was first week of April.
Right.
And then it literally became outlawed. you were doing something that was going to be tremendously illegal.
It's a good thing that
you did postpone it. Sense of community, in-person stuff. I mean, I know that you're in a sort of this hybrid mix where people come in, but they also work remote. You have these in-person, you know, groups. Silver lining for you through this that you think you can build upon?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're really quickly trying to expand our virtual programming, and I don't intend to like lean on that 100% in the future. I'm still a very firm believer in the power of face-to-face interaction and community. But I do think there's something to be said with doing things virtually that kind of bolsters the in-person community and allows people to connect who don't normally get a chance to do so. On our Zoom call today, for example, we had a member in Denmark, we had a member on the Outer Cape, we had a member who never comes into the space before, who just is a community member that doesn't even know any of our new members pop in. So it was like this whole group of people that don't actually normally interact, even though they're all Groundwork members.
Yeah.
So I think there is a lot of, you know, potential for positive things to come out of that. And just to think about how we're more intentional about our community building, because we're usually like, oh, it's this spontaneous, everyone's in the same space, you know, we introduce people when we can, but we just kind of let it happen organically. And this is something much more intentional that's emerging out of that. So I think that's a really good lesson to take away.
Yeah, I think when this cloud lifts, I think there'll be, and Shelley, you and I have talked about this a lot, especially like the downtown New Bedford scene and just how much they mobilize regularly, you know, without this stuff, that I think we'll see some kind of, more intent by, you know, to bolster up local community, right? I mean, there will be a literally, you know, come out and spend your money at local businesses festival where people will happily then come out, because we've been cooped up for however long this might take, to go out, spend and support. So things will, you know, I hate to use the word interesting, but things will definitely get interesting and creative, I hope, you know, once we sort of the dust settles here. Have you heard, Shelley, from like the Colorado scene and just like the national scene or the regional scene, like what other people are doing? Is it better in any other place, or is everybody pretty much the same?
No, it's actually been very interesting. The timing of all of this is wild. On March 4th, we had a team meeting at headquarters about putting out a memo to staff about not coming to work sick. And at that time, I was asked, you know, how would we handle events if this were to get bad? And I was like, I can't answer that question in 5 minutes. I don't know what you mean. A week later, I was very actively canceling all public events. And then 2 days after that, that's when, you know, we started to hear word that you couldn't have events over 250, then down to 100, 25 and 10, just literally over days. So it's all been very, very quickly. The day that Governor Baker declared a state of emergency, his message, you know, and I read the whole thing. If you just saw highlights that people were sharing, you only kind of hear, you know, just a quick recap. But when listening to the whole thing, I took it seriously when he said, everything I'm talking about is guidance for the executive branch, but I do think businesses should also follow our lead in limiting or eliminating travel or events. And that's when I made that final call of, you know, we're going to pull everything. But at the time it was like, you know, just for the next 2 weeks and then we'll see what happens. The same day, the governor of Colorado made a statement, and his statement was like, we're still open for tourism. We're still very much open for business. So there are some states that are, you know, Massachusetts is like one of the fifth highest of cases right now. So Massachusetts is definitely a little forward. We don't have you for all sites in southern places, but I have friends and family that have, you know, contacted me when I put out a blog post last week about canceling events, being like, you know, you're saying this, but how am I going to pay my rent? And I was like, I don't have the answers. I'm just telling you, this is the situation that we're in and that we're headed in. One silver lining that I think is, like I said, things are happening really fast. And I think that we are going to see more and more relief programs come out. You know, we've seen some good loan opportunities, but loans are not the answer for a lot of businesses. You know, I think sometimes it seems like that's great, I'll be able to get some money right now, but you're going to also have to pay it off. Facebook just announced today $100 million grant program. I was on a phone call yesterday with some legislature of Massachusetts, a congresswoman, state reps, and they're all working like around the clock on different ways to help. And that makes me very hopeful that we're going to see a lot of different programs to help not just business owners, but all the people that are soon to be unemployed and, you know, dealing with some unfortunate medical issues as well. So I am hopeful because, like I said, I think today people are very anxious of like getting all the answers. And I'm like, they're coming rapidly. We see more and more and more programs happen, like coming out all the time.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, I think some of the things too, now more than ever, right? Especially with news sharing and information gathering, I think, which is very difficult. I mean, this is just a human problem. It's not even like the COVID-19 problem. This is where people share links and they're unvetted sources. The data is inaccurate. People really have to just spend some time making sure that they're reading the right source of information. Having said that, I see plenty of people on the beaches of Florida, you know, still congregating and jumping through the waves as if nothing is happening. So I guess I should double check to make sure that those images are in fact not deep fakes, but real tourists that are still enjoying the beach.
Yeah. But I do think something to keep in mind is that I think information, it changes so rapidly. Yeah. And I don't know of a time that I can think of where we've experienced something like this. So if you're quoting something from yesterday, you're out of date. You know, there's some articles that are keeping up to date and they're really good at as live as it can be. But I think that's the issue. And I do think that there are some states, like I said, I was just communicating with cousins in Virginia about an event that they were having in 2 weeks saying like, I won't be able to go. And they were like, we're not sure yet if we're going to cancel. And I was like, I think you have to. Where New York is even further along than Massachusetts, where they already started shutting a lot down.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I saw some folks, I had some friends like text messaging me like, let me preface this, that this is not an official news source. Please check the facts before I say this. But I had some friends like text me, Amazon's not delivering any items anymore. Like, they're not delivering. And then I'm okay. So I check Twitter, check some of the sources. They're suspending some of the shipments of non-essential items to warehouses. Doesn't mean that they're not shipping to end users or to the homes anymore, but that they are prioritizing more of the medical and essentials getting shipped to the warehouses so that they can, in fact, ship them to us faithful Prime members that get the two-day delivery. So always be diligent to dig as deep down the rabbit hole as you can to make sure that we're getting the source of information.
Just the other day, Governor Baker, when I was watching his latest address on Sunday, he said, like, don't listen to what your friend of a friend of a friend says. This is what we're doing. And literally like 20 minutes later, a friend of mine messaged me and was like, Massachusetts is going to announce a total lockdown. I was like, he literally just said he's not doing that. And he just said, do not listen to a friend of a friend. And it was like, well, my roommate's coworker called, and I was like, okay, he just said this though. And I think that's part of it. I think that people are reading just the headline. Listen, I've watched Trump more in the past week than I have in his entire presidency or his entire everything he's done on any television. And, you know, those press conferences are long. And when you read a quick blurb, you just get a quick blurb. And there's a lot of stuff that's being talked about.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, let's kick it off. You know what I've noticed actually? Is anyone else wrestling to not touch their face? Because I'm just sitting here.
I'm moving my hair.
Yeah.
Really hard. Yeah. It's like trying to find new things to fidget, you know?
Yeah.
You said her mantra now is do not touch my face. Do not look at my 401k.
We're the fidget spinners when you need them.
I know, right?
Have there been any Well, let's leave it off on sort of a positive note here. What have you been doing? Marlissa, let me start with you. Anything fun, different you've been doing to sort of cope with this, you know, outside of business, maybe just being cooped up at home?
So we've been, not today because it's raining out today, although it seems to be brightening up. We've been going on a walk on it. Like, we went to Fort Barton in Tiverton yesterday. We went to West Island in Fairhaven. So we're sort of doing the South Coast tour, the hikes. So we're kind of like doing a walk every day to keep us from going stir crazy and to just sort of be grateful that we live here and that if we're going to be self-quarantined, that we're self-quarantined here.
Sarah, how about you?
Yeah, pretty much the exact same as Marlissa. I went for two long walks this weekend and yesterday as well. And I usually try to do that at least once a week, get out into the woods, but it seems like we're going to have a lot more time freeing up to get into the woods lately. So, I mean, it was, the trailhead parking lot was like jammed, you know, and everyone was kind of trying to give each other a lot of space passing on the trail, but it's just, it was nice to see a lot of other people outside too.
Shelley?
I definitely need to get out in the woods. you know, it occurred to me the other day that before COVID-19 hit us all, I was really obsessed with watching The West Wing and was listening to The West Wing weekly podcast. And it was like completely obsessed with that. I'm also a masterclass member or subscriber and was listening to like US presidential stuff. And so this past week, I'm like, oh my God, I really need a break from all things, you know, politic and business. So I started listening to the Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend podcast, and that's been like really great. So when I wake up in the morning, I put that on before I check the news, and I listen to that before I go to bed. And I, you know, I've been social distancing, but there are a few friends that we've been hanging out, and we're like, you know what, it's very small group. We're being really careful, and you know, just to be able to like touch base here and there and take a quick ride around the South Coast.
This is like Prohibition, right? In the 20s when they're like secret bars in the cellar. Don't tell anybody.
I know. I felt like I was down. Just like, I shouldn't admit that. I shouldn't admit it. It's just two people. I swear. Yeah.
Well, you'll have a knock on the door in about 5 minutes. Somebody will take you away. So thanks for joining, Shelley.
Yeah.
yeah. I mean, same here. I have three kids under three. And, you know, just trying to keep social distancing from my own children because it's been quite a ride. But we they experienced Lucky Charms for the first time today.
Oh.
And they were just ecstatic about it. So, and so was my wife. But
remember from coronavirus, they'll be like, oh, yeah, that was the time we first had Lucky Charms.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the first and last box you'll ever have, children. Well, that's great stuff. I mean, you know, trying to keep a positive approach and a positive outlook across all this stuff. We know it's difficult. I know it's difficult. Everyone on this panel knows it's difficult. If you have any questions for us, just reach out. I think the four of us are quite receptive to anyone who, you know, just needs somebody either to talk to or come up with some creative ideas to keep them in business. So keep on keeping on. Is that what you say at the end of the world? Is that what they say at the end of the world in movies? we'll be here for you. Stuff like that. So anyway, check out the survey. I left the link in the comments associated to this live stream. Look for a business there. If you have a helping hand, you want to help them out, reach out to them. If you're a small business, take the survey, let folks know how you're dealing with this. And hopefully the collective sum of this data can help somebody. I've had a couple news outlets reach out to me about it. Maybe they can shine some light on some of the other businesses that are listed there, and hopefully somebody can get some help that they need. So we'll just go around the room one last time. Shelley, where can folks reach out to say thanks?
I'm on Facebook, Shelley Carduce. Also, you can reach out through eforall.org. It's eforall.org. And I just checked, our resource list is up there, and you can contact me through there as well.
Awesome. Sarah?
You can email me directly, sarah@newbedfordcoworking.com. You can also find Groundwork on Facebook, also on Twitter @SarahAthanas, any of those. Got a lot of time on my hands right now, so.
Taking up a new hobby, all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
Marlissa.
You can send me an email at Marlissa, M-A-R-L-I-S-S-A at southcoastalmanac.com. We're also, you can subscribe. Actually, Matt, you've taught me this through your podcast. southcoastalmanac.com/subscribe, and you'll get our regular newsletters, which don't come in too frequently, but you'll learn about things like Joe McManus. And we're on Facebook and Instagram.
Awesome. Everybody else, southcoast.fm/subscribe to join the mailing list. Number one way to stay connected. Don't forget, we have a free Facebook group for content creators. If you're out there now with time on your hands and you want to learn how to do some better content marketing, and join a group of passionate South Coast businesses, look up South Coast Content Creators on Facebook. And we do some accountability stuff. You know, if you're struggling, trying to figure stuff out, pop a question in there. And the group is more than willing to lend a hand. All right. That's it for the broadcast. We'll see you in the next episode.
Bye. Thanks, everyone. Bye.